Welcome to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. Enjoy this sermon by Pastor Matt Wolfington.
Glad y'all are here. You can have a seat for just a moment. And we are glad that we get the new mercies each morning, as Scripture says. And so whatever you've gone through this week, boy, it's a new start right now. And so I'm glad for that. And as we do, just welcome. I'm Matt. I'm one of the pastors. And so glad that you have taken time to be here today. If you're a guest with us today, just make yourself at home. Coffee and donuts and restrooms this way. And just make yourself feel a part of who we are in Christ. And if you're joining us online, thanks for taking time to do that as well. Part of who we are is just a family of grace. No judgment here, no secret handshakes. You don't have to know the right words. You just have to know Jesus, and that's all that matters. And so I just want to pray for us as we continue. One thing, before I do that, one announcement is next week, Labor Day weekend, we will have worship. But there's no Sunday school, not for kids, not for adults, and so just come to worship, and it's Labor of Love Sunday, and so it'll be, it really will be the best sermon you've ever heard in your life. And I'm not going to go any further than that. And so just come next Sunday. You'll be so glad that you did. Lord God, thank you that we get to be here today, not for any other reason than you have called us by name. Lord, that we get to come and we get to worship you. We get to fellowship with you. And then, Lord, on top of that, we get to be with each other. We get to fellowship and like-mindedness. Lord, we get to worship in concert with each other and with heaven. And so, Lord, as we are here, let us know that we join a great cloud of witnesses. Lord, it's not just us. It's all of heaven. It's the power of your Holy Spirit living inside of us. Lord, it's the now and the not yet just colliding together to create a glorious, Lord, just a glorious symphony of praise to you. Lord, and your power is here in this very place. Lord, we love you. We thank you, Lord, and we are here to praise you this morning. In Jesus' holy and precious name, amen. Psalm 117 says, "Praise the Lord, all the nations, all the peoples, for his loving kindness is great towards us, and the truth of the Lord is everlasting." And then you go on to 118. It says, "Give the Lord thanks, for he is good. His loving kindness is everlasting. His loving kindness is everlasting. Oh, let those who fear the Lord say, his loving kindness is everlasting." Lord, as we just gather here in your name, Lord, as we maybe confess onto a piece of paper where we have doubts, where we need to have more faith in you, where we need to apply your loving kindness, your graciousness, your goodness into the circumstances or the areas of our lives, Lord, it is our prayer. Father, it's not an act of futility, us talking to you. Us reading your holy word and, Lord, voicing that and bringing that to life, Lord, is not just a pie in the sky. It's not just a routine, Father. It's our faith in you. And so, Lord, I pray that our faith would grow. Lord, that the power of your Holy Spirit inside of us would, Lord, that we would rely on it more and more. And Father, that we would allow you to move through us more and more. And it may change our daily routine. It may change our work lives. It may change the way we study for exams. Lord, it may change the way we have friendships. Lord, it may change the way that we look at our spouses or how we start looking for someone that we want to date. It may change the way that we react to those who don't like us or those who are unkind to us. Father, it certainly may change the way we react to those that we are unkind to in life. But Lord, it's more than now. It's about you in the future. It's about our link to you in heaven as well as here on earth. Father, I pray that you would reveal to us just the magnificence of what's going on in the reality of heaven right now. That is, Lord, that you are trying to stream and flow into our lives. Lord, I can see healing taking place right now. Lord, I can see the bondage of relationships that have been hurt and injured. Lord, I can see those chains cracking and breaking. Lord, I can see some people that have had doubts that are beginning to realize the truthfulness of your righteousness and your goodness. And Father, but there's also some really tall, thick walls that we have put up in life. Lord, I know some folks that have stepped away from faith. Lord, that have stepped away from you because they just don't understand your goodness, Lord. And I pray for them, Lord. We pray for them as a family of faith, Lord, that those people, Lord, that we would reach out to them, number one. But secondly, that they would just come to know that you are working and moving in their life even when they can't see it. Lord, there's a whole city of Lubbock, Texas and surrounding communities that need you, Lord. And Lord, we cannot expect them to come to us. Lord, we cannot expect them to come to you. Lord, you came to us to go out into the world. Lord, we should have that heart for the lost. Lord, give it to us. Lord, teach us and show us how to expand your territory. Lord, we love you and we thank you. And Lord, we offer our prayer today in the holy and precious and yet powerful and mighty name of Jesus Christ. And if you agree with that prayer, if you want some of that to come true in your life, and if you're in agreement with that with me, then you'll just say, amen, amen, amen. Pray for our offering today, and I know that anybody's money important to them? If you didn't raise your hand, give it to me, and I'll take care of it for you. It's important to us, and it matters. Anybody been to the grocery store lately? Yeah, it's getting a little expensive. None of you bought gas this week because you're all walking and riding your bikes. No, I mean, money's important, and we see those things, and it's important to God, too. And so I want to pray for that, and Dallas wants to recognize, and we want to pray for somebody that's a part of our life here at the church as well. So there's giving links on the screen or online if you want to participate in that. If you're a guest, don't feel any obligation to give to our church today. Boy, this is a scary thing to say is, we don't need your money. For the rest of you, we need your money. No, I'm just kidding. We don't. The Lord desires your money so he can do ministry. So Lord God, as we give today, Lord, I'm making that assumption. Father, I pray that you would prompt us by the power of your Holy Spirit. Lord, I'm even convicted of how we give personally in our household. Lord, number one, I pray that we would just open ourselves up to what you call us to do. And we may just barely be making ends meet, and yet we're still called. We may not have any income because we're going to school, and yet we are still called. We may have more money than we actually need, and yet we are still called. And so, Lord, let us give not to salaries and not to electric bills, Father, not to buildings, but Father, let us give to you and you use it by using us to do your ministry in the world. And Lord, and bless each giver in the name of Christ. Amen.
I'm going to take just a moment and today is an exciting day, but also a sad day for our friend Luke Blackman. Luke, would you come up if you don't mind? If you guys know anything about our church here, we have always been about training up and sending out people to do ministry, whether it's in their workplace, whether it be vocational. Luke is one of our own here. This is his last Sunday with us, and he has accepted a youth pastor position. Yeah, come on up, man. Actually, you're right there. That way we can just come gather and pray over you. No, come up here now. No, just kidding. But he's accepted a full-time youth pastor position in our neighboring state of New Mexico. Sorry about the roads, but we're so excited and happy for him. And we just want to pray and commission him and send him out to do the work of the kingdom. If anyone would like to gather around him and lay hands on him and just to bless him as he goes on. He's been certainly on serving here in our tech ministry, but also has been very active in serving our youth students and volunteering in that area. And he's been off in New York for college for the last several years, and he's been back this summer. And we're just excited for him as he is stepping into what God has for him. So I just want to say a word of prayer over you. Father, we're so thankful for this man, and thankful for how he loves you with a burning passion, Father. And just excited that he is stepping out into the unknown where you're calling him, Lord Jesus. Lord, we just lift him to you, and we ask that you would just prepare the way for him as you already have been doing, and that you would go before him, Lord, and guide him and direct him, Lord Jesus. As he steps out into something brand new, it can be super exciting, can also be super terrifying, but Lord, I know that he trusts you, and I know that he listens to you for guidance, Father. And so I just pray that your Holy Spirit would just permeate him from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet, Jesus, and that just he would walk in your ways, Lord Jesus, and that those kids in Artesia, New Mexico don't know what they have coming. Such a treasure, such an awesome man of faith. Lord, we just offer this prayer of thanksgiving for his friendship and his service here with us, and we offer this prayer, Lord, in expectancy for what you're going to be doing in his life and through him to those students in Artesia, New Mexico, in the surrounding areas, Jesus. Bless him, Lord, as he goes out. We're so grateful and so thankful for him, Lord Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit. Amen.
You know, about 4 or 5 years ago, I started trying to get rid of everything that was colored black in my life because it seems to disappear and blend in with things and I can't find it. So I started getting everything red that I possibly could so I could find it easier. And you would think you'd be able to find a big red giant iPad when you can't see it. Has anybody seen my iPad? I know it's always the thing. It's always the thing at my house, too. It was right over there. Anyway.
Can you find
my iPad? No, I'm not going to worry about trying to find my iPad. Nah, I've already looked in my office. I've looked everywhere, so it's here somewhere. You're just a part of my life right now, this little world that I live in. This is the way it usually is. It's usually my wallet, and you know how that goes. But I finally bought a tile to put in my wallet. So if you steal my wallet, I'm going to know where it is. Of course, unless you take the tile out of it now, and then I'm not going to know where it is. But normally, I'm going to know where it is. Today, we're going to continue. Let's get back on track. You're going to have to keep up with slides back there, and I'll tell you when to change them. But we're going to continue talking about the new heaven and the new earth. And as we talk about the new heaven and the new earth, today we're... sorry, kids. I'm used to Ashley being here. I'm so sorry. I know. Just please do. Start jumping up and down, yelling. If you're going to children's worship, please go right over there. And we are so thankful for our teachers and glad that you're filling in today. Thank you. Scream really loud if you need some extra help. Oh, good. That'll be great. Pray for Ashley. She's out today and just some things going on in her life, and she is out with her family today, and so we're just going to pray for her and for Matt and just for all things. So, matter of fact, let's just pray for them right now. Lord God, I just thank you for Ashley and her ministry here at the church, Father, to our children. Lord, she really is just a giant blessing that you have sent us, Lord, in just her heart and her organization. Lord, I just pray for healing in her life, and Lord, that she'd just be on the road to recovery. And Lord, just thank you for the miracle of modern medicine for her, and Lord, and just bring that completeness and wholeness to her. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So this idea of new heaven and new earth, we're going to focus on the new heaven today. This is going to take us a while, not a while today. I'm not keeping you till 2 o'clock. 1:30, okay? And so we're going to focus on the new heaven for a little while, a couple of weeks. And while we do that, though, I have one disclaimer, okay? One disclaimer about the new heaven. Where did you find that? I looked in my office. I'm usually the one that's the better looker. Thank you. I hear it. Okay. Thank you. I was perfectly okay with them in the back running it, but this is great. Let me find it quickly. I have one disclaimer, okay, and that is the fact that when we start talking about heaven, I have never been there. Oh, come on, that's funny, okay? I mean, I've never been there. I don't have a first eye. I don't have an eyewitness account of heaven. All I have is Scripture, okay? I'm not basing anything outside of Scripture, and so we're just going to use Scripture today. There's lots of books out there about heaven, lots of people that claim. I'm not saying that they have or they haven't. I'm not doing any of that. I'm just saying I'm going to base everything on Scripture, and you can do with that what you will through prayer and through your own individual study. And while we do that, then we have just these interpretations of Scripture. We have what visions God gave to John, and then we look at all that. We're going to look at Ezekiel. We're just going to go through a lot of them. And so we're going to have this idea. Lots of songs have been written about heaven, right? Led Zeppelin, Kenny Chesney, Queen. If you're a child of the 80s, Belinda Carlisle. We can go to worship songs. We can go to Chris Tomlin. We can go to John Mark McMillan. There's so many, okay? Obviously, some of them had a more godly view of heaven than what some of the others did. And when we think about those things, though, we have to keep going back to Scripture over and over and over again. And here's the problem with our ideas of heaven. Number one is that we really don't know, okay? But number two is, how could we know? H.G. Wells, an author, wrote a book a long time ago, and the title of it is The Country of the Blind. In the country of the blind, everybody there is, guess what? Blind. Nobody there can see. Nobody has ever seen. They are all naturally blind. They are not short-sighted or partially blind. They have never seen anything. And in the book, somehow, some new people come to the country and they can see. And so they're trying to describe to all the people that are blind all of these things that are around them. But how do you explain to somebody what you are seeing when they have no reference point to have ever seen? See, that's our problem with heaven. How does God explain to us what heaven is like and what heaven is when we can't see it? When we have no reference to being able to see it. It's not that it is not real. It's not that it is not an actual place. It's that we don't have the capacity to see it. So when we go through Scripture and we start looking at this, we should be curious, though. We should want to know. We should want to have an understanding and an idea. We should want to try to dive into it. But yet, I'm really curious by a show of hands, just for me, no condemnation if you don't raise your hand. But how many of you had pastors and churches that actually spent time talking about heaven? One, two. See, I mean, we should be talking about these things, and I'm guilty too, okay? 22 and a half years, this will be my first real series on talking about what we are going to do for the rest of eternity. See, that's just shameful, and that's on me too. But yet, we should be curious because Scripture says over and over that we are going to heaven as believers in Jesus Christ. These bodies are going to be glorified. Mortality will put on immortality, and we will live forever in the presence of God. What does that mean? What does that look like? Where is that? Scripture says that our bodies will be glorified to be like him. What does that mean? How's that going to play out? What we have now in the Holy Spirit really is just a down payment, just a deposit on what is to come. What does that mean? I mean, this is good, but how good is it going to be? How great is it going to be? What does this mean, and how is this going to work? And heaven is not just, I know that you've seen cartoons, we've seen movies, and there's clouds, and there's smoke on the ground, or dry ice blowing across the floor, and everybody's dancing on clouds, and we all have wings, and, you know, I don't know, whatever it is, but it's not some spiritual consciousness place. It's a real place. It has things. It has creation. It has stuff. We're going to talk about that. Because John 14 says, Jesus says, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, won't I come back to take you to be where I am? He's a place. He didn't say some ethereal whatever. He didn't say some thought process. He said a place. And Jesus didn't say things he didn't mean. Amen? I mean, at least that's one thing we can count on here. And so we have to think about it as a place. And so this new heaven and this new earth really means something for us. And so we're going to spend the next couple of weeks talking about this new heaven and new earth. We're going to talk about the new place. We're going to talk about this new experience, this new life. We're going to talk about these new bodies that we're going to have and all of the things. So Revelation 2, 1 through 4 says this. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is among the people, and he will dwell among them, and they shall be his people. And God himself will be among them, and he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will no longer be any death. There will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away. I don't know about y'all, but I can't wait. How about you? And so, but what does that mean? What is it, and how is it going to go for us? And that's where I want to talk about it. And we're going to have to jump ahead a few verses, and then we're going to come back to some verses. We have to jump ahead to a few verses because John is having this vision that God has given him. All right, now, I'm going to make this joke, and some of you aren't going to like it, and some of you are going to think it's heresy, and then some of you are going to be like, oh, this guy's kind of weird. But some of you might think that John was having the same trip that Led Zeppelin was having when he had this vision. Hey, see, that was good. I like that. That is not true. I don't know what Led Zeppelin was on, but John was just on Jesus. Amen? And when he got this vision, it really was about what God was showing him. Now, I'm not going to get into all this, and this really may muddy the waters for some of you, but I mean, the only way God can explain things to us when we can't see heaven is to explain it to us in the realities that we understand. And that's with metaphors, and that's with symbolism, and that's with created things that we know, that we really revere, and we think are really great, and we think are almost perfect, and we think are pretty, that we think would be stunning, that we can't really attain. And so he talks about it in terms of glass seas. He talks about it in terms of all these beautiful jewels and just glass walls and, just things that just seem so far-fetched that it has to be great and glorious. Now, do I believe that there's going to be a sea of glass when we get to heaven? I'm going to tell you, I don't know. These things just don't bother me. They do some people, and you may be one of those. You really want to know if there really is going to be a city wall made out of, I think, jasper or whatever it says, and it's going to be so many cubits high and so many cubits wide. Okay, that's great for you. I'm not going to be able to answer that question for you. You'll just have to wait till you get there. Okay, for me, I just know it's going to be fantastic. I'm going to be with God, and everything is going to be just exactly the way he wanted it to be, and I'm really good. But I also want to know some of the details. And so what are those details? This new heaven and this new earth really keep us on track with what God intended in the very beginning, what he intended in creation. This new heaven and this new earth is not just a return back to what God created in the Garden of Eden. It is more than that. It is better than that. It is beyond that. If you can think of it this way, here's kind of the way I think of it, is if you think about, okay, let's just go on, I have to do everything linear in my life. If you think about the Garden of Eden and how he created it, if everything would have been perfect and stayed the way he wanted it to, then with Adam and Eve tending the garden and multiplying and creation and ruling over all the plants and the animals and the earth and everything, where would that be today in the timeline of history? How great would that be? How much different would it be? How would that have played out with the perfection of God in charge, right? See, so let's go to where that would be whenever the new heaven and the new earth are established. See, it's not just going back to the first plants and animals and we're going to just be running around in fig leaves and working the ground and tending to the animals. No, I think it's way beyond that, and I don't even know what that is. But it's going to be the way God intended it to be, and it's going to be with him, because this new heaven is us coexisting with God in his glory, right? With him with us, and once again being co-rulers with him. Let me prove it to you out of Genesis 1, 27 through 8. God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them, and he said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it, and rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over everything that moves on the earth." See, I think that this idea of serving and co-ruling with him is super, super cool. Is God, he entrusts with us all of his creation. Now, right now, I know he entrusts to us with all of creation, and we can argue that we're doing a decent job or argue that we're not doing a good job at all. But what he's saying is, in the new heaven and new earth, in perfection, we rule over it. We serve and we coexist with him to do his will. See, that doesn't mean that, I'm sorry to disappoint some of you, but that just doesn't mean you get to be on a cloud with wings and have a harp and you just don't get to do anything all day. That's just not the way it's going to be. Okay, there's going to be an order of things. There's going to be a rule of things. We are going to have responsibilities. You are going to have responsibilities. You are going to have duties. I'm not going to call it a job because nobody likes a job, right? But you are. Let's just say that you're going to have responsibilities, and there's going to be something for you to do. And when we get there, we'll figure all that out. But I think it's going to be great. Amen. Boy, I don't want to go where you're going. I want to go to a place better than you're already thinking. So I can't tell you exactly how heaven was going to be, but I can tell you what John saw when we jump ahead to Scripture, okay? So let's jump ahead to Revelation 22:1-5. "And he showed me a river of the water of life, clear as crystal, coming from the throne of God and of the Lamb in the middle of its street. On either side of the river was the tree of life," either side of the river, "the tree of life, bearing 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. There will no longer be any curse, and the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it. And his bondservants will serve him." That's us, by the way. "They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads, and there will no longer be any night, and they will not have need of the light of a lamp nor the light of the sun, because the Lord God will illuminate them, and they will reign forever and ever." See, the river of life, where was that? That was in the garden. Where was the tree of life? It was in the garden. And yet, here we are somehow back in the garden, right? Back in this new heaven and this new earth, back with the tree of life, back with the river of life, and it's yielding fruit, and we get to partake of it and experience healing forever and ever. We get to experience life forever and ever in our glory, in our perfection, in the image of God. See, that's this new heaven and this new earth. And while we were there, did you hear what it said? We don't just coexist, we serve. He said, Scripture says, his bond servants will serve him. Now, we go to that, and a lot of us don't like that. It's interesting to note that if we go back to Matthew 4:10, right? Matthew chapter 4, verse 10, it says this, you shall worship the Lord your God, and only him shall you serve. Notice it didn't say, you shall praise the Lord your God, and him only serve. See, he used the word worship. I know that we've received it by osmosis or default, that worship right here on Sunday morning, worship is singing. No. Praise is singing. And singing is an outflow, an outcome, a byproduct of worship. See, worship is a whole lot more than just singing. Thank goodness, because when some of us sing, boy, it doesn't sound like we're worshiping at all, right? it's bad, right? And so I was trying to sing along with the song last night because, anyway, I'm not going to get into all of it. But Robin said, she goes, oh, that's really bad. That's really bad. Yeah, I mean, it is. Sorry, I don't have the voice of Journey. I just can't do it. But I can sing it. But it's not good. See, that's not it. Worship is not about what it sounds like or what it's looked like. It's about an outflowing of our heart to God. He says that we will serve, which worship is serving. Serving is worship. He said we will worship. So that idea of service, what we're doing is a worship to God. It doesn't mean, we can argue this all day long, and we're going to get into it in the next couple of weeks. But some people will say that we're around the throne of God 24/7 singing to him. No, there are scriptures that talk about that, but it doesn't say that that's for all of us. It says we will all worship. There are designations for people or angels or beings that will stand around the throne of God and sing to him in praise and worship. I hope we get to do that. I mean, I don't know what Dallas is going to do for all of eternity if there's no praise, right? I mean, there's going to be stuff for all of us. There's going to be a way. Worship is from the heart. His servants will serve him. Revelation 22:3. John saw when he had this vision and when he wrote this down, he saw the restoring of what God created to be perfect. He saw all of the ways in which we had messed things up, all the ways that religion had messed things up, all the ways in which the Pharisees and the Sadducees had messed things up, all the ways that all the ways that the Methodists and the Episcopalians and the Church of Christ and the Jewish leaders and that we had all messed it up, right? And he says, no, it's about this newness. It's about the way God created it. See, he described it then as a marriage between heaven and earth. See, most of us think that all of the earth is going to be destroyed and there's going to be this new creation in heaven and it's going to be heavenly. And Scripture doesn't really say that. There are things that are going to be burned up. There are things that are going to go away. There are things that are going to be destroyed. It doesn't say everything. It does say that he's making all things new, right? But when you read that, it's about a recreation. It's about a restoration. And when you think about a bride and a groom, right, we are the bride. We are the bride of Christ. And when that comes, when, I mean, I don't, this is not to be funny. I'm not trying to get brownie points or anything like that at my house. I'm just saying, how many of you remember if you had, if you had a wedding ceremony and you did all those things, if you're the groom, okay, I don't know what bride's experience. I wasn't a bride, okay? And so, I don't want to hear it. I just remember standing at the front, and I've watched it. I remember when, I've watched it with every wedding I've done, I've watched it. I start watching the groom when the bride comes in, right? And no matter how many times you've seen your girlfriend, no matter how many times you've seen your fiance, no matter how many times you envisioned what that was going to be like, the first time you saw her in that whatever dress she had on, whatever, however she was dressed, when the doors opened in the back, when she came in, it was like it was the newest, best thing you had ever seen. Gentlemen, amen?
Amen.
Yes. There's my nephew Caleb back there with his lovely bride. Caleb was just almost a blubbering idiot when the doors opened. Because he just was like, oh my gosh. I remember when my cousin got married. I mean, we stopped the wedding ceremony at least 3 times because he was just crying and he would just lean over. I mean, this is why they're holding hands and saying the vows. He would just lean over and hug and just cry and just love on her. And they had dated 20 years. 20 years before they got married. And then all of a sudden at the wedding, it was like, she's the best thing ever. Right? See, that's what this marriage of heaven and earth is. That's what this marriage of us and Christ is when we are redeemed and pulled into this final glory. It's a new creation. It's the newness of the bride of Christ. And what it does is not only do we serve and not only do we co-rule, but here's one of the greatest things about what Scripture says. It says there's no longer a temple in heaven. There's no longer, I know that y'all love the Southwest Campus and everything about it, and this is the best building church you've ever been in, but there's not going to be a Southwest Campus in heaven. There's not going to be a cathedral. There's not going to be a Holy Spirit Catholic Church. There's not going to be the Crystal Cathedral in California. There's not going to be, you know, none of that, because God and Jesus permeate every molecule of all of creation. There's no longer a temple. See, for John, the temple was the place where they went to worship. That's where the sacrifices were made. That's where, in some ways, in the Holy of Holies, that's where God resided. That goes away because right now you are the temple, but when we get to heaven, he's everywhere. Christ is everywhere. The Holy Spirit is everywhere. I can't explain that other than that. There's not a place anymore because worship happens 24/7. Our lives are worship. The place is a place of worship. Heaven, all of heaven is a place of worship. There is a throne, apparently. There is a place where the water of life, the river of life flows from, but he's with us always and everywhere. I think that's probably the most surprising, but the greatest part of heaven is that I don't have to stop and pray. I don't have to stop and worship. I don't have to do my devotional, or I don't have to do certain things to feel like I'm in the presence of God, because the presence of God is always. It's just like the air. It is. And so our lives are a part of that worship. And so think about this final thing for today, and we're going to unpack this over the next couple of weeks. Some of it's going to be really big and really heavy and really hard to understand, and then we're going to unpack it and it'll get a little easier. Some of it you're not ever going to grasp because I can't in Scripture. It's one of the greatest mysteries of all of Scripture. But what can we expect there? Here's what we can expect there. I say, this is the way Scripture reads. This is out of Revelation 2:7. It says, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will grant to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God." which is in heaven. What does that mean? This is heaven. I don't care what I do when I get there. I don't care what it looks like. There's just so many things. Okay, this is what I care about. This is what I care about. This idea of I get to eat of the tree of life. It's a new revelation of God to us. It's a new understanding of God to us. It's a new realization of God. And I think, just selfishly, not arrogantly, but selfishly, I've had some really great God moments where I just, that song we sing where I hear the robe fill the room, where I felt or I smelled the presence, or where I felt the Spirit of God. But this new heaven and this new earth, it's way more than that. We can't understand it, and yet we struggle with it because we can't understand it. And I think we don't talk about it because we can't understand it. And so when someone says, well, explain it to me, well, I really can't, but it's going to be good. We don't want to do that. We say, well, how do you know? Well, I don't know, but I have faith. We don't want to say that to people, but we have to start saying that to people. We have to start understanding that. We have to start thinking about it, because we can't know what we can't see, and we can't see just yet what heaven is. But yet, it's breaking into our life little by little. It's a place for us to live and to reside, a place for us to serve, a place for us to worship, a place for God to be with us 24/7, where He permeates us, where we co-rule with Him, where we have dominion over everything and all of the new creation and the new heaven, and yet God is still God, and Christ is still with us. And in the midst of that, we have a new vision where we rule in a new way. That's just the new heaven. We got a long way to go to get there. And there's some places that we have to talk about before we get there. There's a new earth that we're going to talk about. But this new heaven, I think we should be excited about it. Kenny Chesney, in one of his songs, says, we all want to go to heaven. We just don't want to go right now. Yeah? I want to go right now. I want all of us to go right now. Amen? I would love for us all to go together. If it can happen that way, that would be great. But there's no reason we should not want to go. I know we talk about what we might miss. I know we talk about our friends and our family. But yet, we need to try to work on getting there. We need to try to work on understanding and having a vision of it like John did. So we can tell other people. I don't want to know for me. I want to know for you. I want to know what this is going to be like so I can be ready and so I can anticipate it and so I can start living now for what's coming in the future. So I'm going to ask the praise team to come up, and I'm going to close with this last illustration. If you are going on a vacation, okay, if you're going to a new country where there's a new language and new cultures, and you're going to spend a pretty fair amount of time there, usually we at least try to learn a few phrases of the language so we can get around. How to catch an Uber or a taxi or whatever they might have. The second one is maybe where to eat. A third one is, how much does this cost? And then a fourth one is, I don't know about you, but I always want to learn in the new culture, where's the bathroom? Amen? That's just practical stuff, right? Why do we not do the same thing about heaven? Why are we not asking the questions? What do I need to know before I get there? How do I need to start living now to prepare for then? How do I need to start experiencing that culture of heaven now so I can be ready for it then? I know we'll all be transformed in an instant, is what Scripture says. But I want to learn now. I want to be a part of it now. I want you to be a part of it now, because part of it's here. We're just missing it. So here's my prayer over the next probably month, is to say, Lord, show us a glimpse of the new heaven and the new earth. Show us this healing for the nations. Let us start experiencing that now. Lord, this river of life and this tree of life that we're going to get to eat from day and night. Lord, can I have a taste of that right now? Lord, can I have a glimpse of the language? Can I have a glimpse of the service? Can I have a glimpse of the worship? Because I really am excited about going. I really want to be there. Lord, show me. Because here's the thing. God wants you there more than you want to be there. He wants to be with you more than you want to be with Him. All throughout Scripture, God's chasing us. Chasing us and chasing us and chasing us. Psalm 23 says, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and all we really have to do is turn around and allow Him to catch us. Let's do it. And let's do it together for His glory. Let me pray for us. Lord, I just want to give you thanks for the revelation that you gave to John, that you give to us. Lord, I want to thank you that you didn't just stop with the creation of heaven and earth. But Father, you thought all the way through our mistakes, all the way through our redemption, all the way through eternity to a new heaven and a new earth when we would all finally be together with you, those that call upon the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, let that forgiveness of heaven come into our lives right now. Lord, let the healing of heaven come into our lives right now. Let the excitement and the joy and the laughter of no more tears and crying and pain and death and mourning, let that come into our lives even in just part right now. Lord, break the mundane. Break the cycle of the curse just a little bit for us. And then let us turn to you and give you glory and honor and praise, and let our lives be an act of worship to you. In Jesus' holy and precious and powerful name, we make our prayer in sincerity to you, Lord. Let it happen. Let it happen. Give us a Monday morning faith so we can keep this going until we're together again in eternity. In Jesus' holy and precious name, all the people said, amen. Amen. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. He will dwell among them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself will be among them. And He will wipe away every tear from their eye. There will be no longer any death, any mourning, any crying, any pain, for the first order of things had passed away. Boy, let's just keep that in our hearts this week. Let's ask God to reveal to us what that looks like for us now and what it's going to look like in eternity. Go in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, giving Him glory and honor and praise now before we get to do it forever. And all the people said, amen. Amen. Y'all have a great week.
Thanks for listening to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. For more information, you can find us on the web at stlukeslubbock.org. That's stlukeslubbock.org.